Well, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. We are continuing our study of the expectations God has for His church. Grow, serve, give, send. And we talked last week about prayer, and we're going to talk about prayer in Luke chapter 18. Last week we looked at the story or the parable of the persistent widow, so that we would always know how to pray, ought always to pray, and not lose heart. God expects His church to pray and not lose heart. In the gospel, just for sake of reminder, Luke wrote this to Theophilus, Luke in Acts, so that he would know with certainty about all the events surrounding Jesus. So we can know with certainty, and we can learn about prayer. In Luke chapter 18, we're going to start in verse number 9 and read through verse 14. He, Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, the extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is another parable about prayer. A parable is a teaching method that Christ employs. It's a story with principles within the story to lead us to a spiritual point or application. And like last week, there is the widow and there is the judge. In this case, there are two notable figures to this parable. The first is a Pharisee. Everyone hearing this parable would understand who Jesus is speaking about. It's a Pharisee. It's a religious conservative. They held to the Old Testament law, and they added rules on top of that. So they felt good about themselves. I'll never break the law because I've added more stipulations to it. They had a national identity. They were true Judaizers. They cared about Israel and all things Hebrew-related. They were also hard to get along with because they were so rigid in their belief system. One of the most notable Pharisees in Scripture is the Apostle Paul. So before his conversion, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he says. And he says, I'm rising in the ranks above my contemporaries, because he is so conservative, so zealous for God, he thought he was doing God a favor by attacking the Christian church. There are the Pharisees, and there's also the tax collectors. In his parable, he says there's a Pharisee and there's a tax collector. And how the general populace viewed tax collectors, they viewed them as traitors. They had a love for money, which, by the way, is the root of all kinds of evil. You see, they were traitors to their kinsmen, the Israelites, or the nation of Israel, and they began to serve Rome to take up collections for the empire. They were also known as crooks. Now, they would take the tax money for Rome, but they would also take a little bit for themselves. And that was okay in the eyes of Rome. As long as Rome gets their taxes, you can do whatever you want to. They were hated by the public. One of the most notable figures in Scripture of being a tax collector is Zacchaeus. One of the shortest men in Scripture is also one of the most rigid men. He stole from people until God converted him. And then after he was converted, he said, I will pay back four times what I stole from anybody, which is above the law. This is all about prayer, and I want to show you the elements of prayer. And through this, I want us to gauge ourselves, where we're at in our prayer life. Now, I heard this text preached 15 years ago by Dr. Michael Klor. from Englewood Baptist in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. And he said, there's only two men in this scripture. You're one of them. And I don't necessarily hold to that per se, but I will say there are two guys, two polar ends that we've got to gauge ourselves and our prayer life in the process. So I'm going to show you the elements of scripture so that we can grow in our prayer life. Let's go back to verse 10 of this chapter, Luke chapter 18. And let's look at their prayer. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The first element I want you to see in this prayer is the approach. It's the approach to prayer. Both men come to the temple to pray, but their approach is different. Both men go to the temple. Both men participate in prayer, but there's a stark difference between these two guys. So the Pharisee, it says he is standing praying, which that's a common practice, but there's a difference. It says he is standing while the tax collector is standing afar off. So we would assume he is standing closer to the temple complex, closer to the Holy of Holies, because that's who you are if you're holy. I'm holier, so I'm going to get closer to that sacred area of holiness. And he comes to the temple complex in the center of the prayer time, perhaps, and he comes pridefully to pray. Now, the tax collector does things differently. His approach is different. It says he stands far off. So sometimes that means the court of the Gentiles. Sometimes it means something else. But I would say to you, it really means he does not view himself pridefully. He doesn't view himself like I have the right to go and pray like other folks. Both pray, but their approach is different. I don't know if you've had this experience. When I drop my kids off for school, there are kids that get out of the vehicle, and you can tell by their body language, they don't want to go to school. Every muscle begins to act slower, and they just think, if I take long enough, my parent will get me back in. That don't work. And then there's other kids that you can tell they don't really like school, but they go to it because that's the law. They want to get it over with, and they want to see their friends. Or it's like in our work or in our careers, there's people, if you talk to them, they say, oh, I hate my job. It's misery. It's drudgery. And then you know what their day is like after that? Miserable. They hate it. Like, oh, I'm just doing this. I've only got 10 more years before I got to retire. And then there's people that somewhat love their job or even put up with it, saying, hey, I've got to earn a paycheck. I've got to pay my bills. I'm going to make the best of this situation. And then you know what their experience is? It's not too bad. You see, how you approach things is typically how you experience things. Both of these men, the Pharisee and tax collector, approach prayer and approach God, but they do it differently. And I say to you, their experience is vastly different because it starts with the approach. Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 to support this. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. How is your approach to prayer? How would you gauge it? Would you be more like the Pharisee? Would you be more like the tax collector? How would you say you fall on this grid in your approach to prayer? Luke chapter 18, let's go back to verse 11. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here is the second element to the prayer. It's the request. It's the request. Now, the Pharisee gives an underhanded thank you to God. If you looked at his prayer, he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like all these guys. And even when we say the request, he didn't request anything. And we have to, in parentheses, ask ourselves, is this really even a prayer to God? Because he's really just telling God, hey, God, I'm so good. And I'm not like those other guys. They do the bad stuff. Remember me, God? I have those rules on top of your rules. I thank you that I'm not bad like them. But the tax collector has a very simple, straightforward request. He says, God, I need mercy. We see it demonstrated in his body language. It says in the text, he won't even look up to heaven. He's so ashamed of himself, ashamed of what he's done. Now, one man, the Pharisee, is really praying to himself. The other man, the tax man, he's praying to God. And it's not the words that God's impressed with. It's the nature of your heart. It's the condition of your soul. Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. In a weird, odd turn of events, God gives to both men what they requested. The Pharisee said, God, look at me. Look at all I'm doing. And God said, you get what you asked for. Now, to the tax collector, he says, God, would you give me mercy? And God gives him what he asked for. What have you been asking of God? What's your request? What's your prayer life been like? What are some of the items you've been praying for? Who are some of the people you've been praying for? What's your request? Scripture tells us if we ask anything in Christ's name, he hears us. But also the truth, the profound principle in Matthew 7, ask and it'll be given to you. You knock and the door will be open. You say, I've been asking God, I've been seeking, I've been knocking. Let me bring you back to the parable of the widow, the persistent prayer. Keep asking, keep knocking. How's your request? Where would you put yourself on this spectrum between the Pharisee and the tax collector? Let's go back to verse 11 to look at the prayer once again. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. Here's the third element in their prayer. It's the view of self and others. Both men pray, but they do it differently. And the way they view themselves and others is different. The Pharisee views himself in high esteem. And really, he views himself in light of himself. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like those guys. And he looks down on other people that have committed sins. He's putting himself on the pedestal. Meanwhile, he's knocking other guys down. And then he pinpoints the tax collector that's not even close to him. He keeps all the rules. He made more. He's such a good guy. Meanwhile, the tax man, the IRS agent, he views himself in light of God. He can't even look to heaven. He beats himself on the chest. And in a paraphrase of his approach or his mentality, who am I in light of God? I mean, how can I exalt myself if we are all beneath God? We've all sinned and fallen short. The Pharisee is only concerned about himself, but the tax collector is concerned about God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they received their reward." Church, how do you view yourselves? How do you view others? How is this reflected in your prayer time? Do you find yourself more like the Pharisee that says, "Look at what I've done, look at me"? Or do you find yourself more like the tax collector that says, "God, don't look at me, I want to look at you"? Back in the text, Luke 18, verse 11, "The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" The fourth element of the prayer is the emphasis. It's the emphasis of the prayer. Same activity, same practice, but a different emphasis. When my friends and I were in seminary, we loved to talk about everything we heard in chapel service. We were learning how to preach, so we would always critique the preachers at the chapel. And we would also talk about the studies we're going through. Now, we all started at the same time, but some of my friends had classes they took somewhere else. And so sometimes we couldn't have the same class schedule. It turned out we were taking Old Testament at the same time, but we had different professors. I had Dr. Kilpatrick, one of the leading experts on the book of Exodus in the world, and just a fantastic scholar. And so we were taking Old Testament survey, which is the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, plus some history. But he said the first day, "We're starting in Exodus," because he knows it so well. And we spent a large amount of time on Exodus, a very short amount of time in Genesis and some of the histories of Israel. I talked to two of my friends. They had Dr. Skinner, who was very well versed in the book of Genesis. And they said, "We have been in Genesis for weeks. We're not even out of creation yet." Now, both professors teaching the same course, but they had different emphasis. The Pharisee and the tax collector doing the same thing, both praying, but the emphasis is different. I want to show it to you. One emphasizes God, one emphasizes man. The Pharisee exalts himself by putting others down. And in his prayer, he is saying, "God, just look at me. I don't commit sins like those others." Then he says, "I fast twice a week," meaning I withhold food from my body for a day or 24 hours or sunrise to sunset, however he precedes it. Now, by the way, the law never calls for fasting twice a week. So number one, there's a strike. Number two, he's probably not a Baptist like we are if he's doing that twice a week. But he's bragging about it. He says, "God, look how much I'm doing. Look at me." He says, "I supersede the law." The law doesn't say fast twice a week, but I'm going to do it. And he says, "I give 10%, not of income, of everything." That's how holy he is in his own eyes. Now the tax collector, his emphasis is different. He's going to emphasize God. In fact, by his prayer, by his demeanor, he is saying, "When I pray, don't look at me. I'm not proud of myself. I'm not proud of what I've done." Everyone knows he's committed some bad sins. If we could critique him and ask him, he would say, "Oh yes, I've broken the law. I can't keep the rules of the Pharisees. I certainly can't keep the rigid stature of the law." Now, it doesn't mention fasting. He doesn't say, I've fasted. But that's the point. Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 6, some things in spirituality you don't need to share with other people. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 and following. And when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So it's not about fasting and say, look at me, look at how much I fast, look at what I do for the sake of holiness. And it's also not about how much you give. Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All of these supporting texts from Matthew's gospel, there's a great reoccurrent phrase about the Father who sees in secret, the Father who hears in secret, the Father who is in secret. A big portion of our prayer life is in secret. It's between you and God, not other people. And that's the problem of the Pharisee. He wants other people to look, say, man, that guy's got it going on. When in essence, he is so far from the heart of God, his emphasis is completely off. It's not about how much you give. The tax collector shows this because he says, God, it's not what I can give, it's what you can give. I want mercy. I need mercy. God, what can you give? If we could look at the bulk of our prayer time, what's the emphasis of your prayers? What are the things that are taking your attention? Sometimes it's things arise, hardships pop up. But what's the emphasis of your prayers? Is it you? Are you man-centered? Or are you God-centered? Where's your prayer life? If you could rate it on the spectrum. Back in Luke chapter 18, two verses, verse 9 and verse 14, it says that he, Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. And then down in verse 14, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let me give you the fifth element to this prayer. It's being justified. It's going to God and meeting with God, learning about the heart of God. It says he gave this parable, this teaching story, to some who are righteous in and of themselves, and for others that viewed other people with contempt. The Pharisee illustrates it perfectly. He thought everything was perfect for him. He had God all figured out, and other people weren't as good as him. And Jesus said, I'm preaching this parable to you. It says this tax collector, an unlikely hero in Luke's gospel, or unlikely figure of prominence, it says he went down, he descended from the temple complex and went back to his home justified, righteous. It means he had right standing with God. Meanwhile, the Pharisee said all the great things. He had an eloquent prayer. He looked really good. But God said, I've never met with you. I'm not hearing that. But the tax collector said, I demonstrate my standing with God by the way I pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. You see, the reward in prayer goes to the humble, to those who are contrite in heart, to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for those that are meek, for those that are peacemakers. That's the group that God meets with when they pray. And you may say, well, this parable is really not even about prayer. I really believe it is. You say, well, no. It's about self-righteousness. It's about viewing others with contempt. I would say to you, if I could look at a prayer life, I can reveal how self-righteous we are by your prayers. And looking at that, I struggled with that this week. It's like, hey, this is more about self-righteousness and devotion and following after God. But all of that is revealed when our prayer life is disclosed before God. It reveals how self-righteous we are. It reveals if we're exalting ourselves. God says to those that exalt themselves, you missed me. But to those that are humble, that aren't even looking to heaven, they just beat themselves saying, I've messed up, God. I just want mercy. God says, those are the guys I want to meet with. Those are the guys after my heart. And sometimes it's the refuse, the downcast of society that Luke records for us. But I love the prayer of the tax collector. God, the subject, would you give me mercy? You see, I'm due punishment, but I need you to withhold that wrath. I need you to step into my life and give me mercy. Man, if we're honest, we need mercy on a daily basis. But there's also the prayer for mercy if you've never trusted in Christ. That is the prayer to pray for. God, would you give me mercy as I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And that's the first prayer you should ever pray. And after that, there's decisions you want to partake of, like baptism or church membership. There are certain steps of the faith to proceed with. And if that's you today, make one of those decisions. But here I feel where God is leading us is a time to pray. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, sing a song of response. And you've got time to pray, not to be seen by others, not to give an eloquent prayer with many words or putting down other people, where you meet with God and you interact with the creator of all the universe. Maybe you need prayer. I'd love to pray with you. I'm going to ask everybody to pray, but if you want to pray after the service privately, right after the service is over, I'll meet with you and we can pray. But if you want to pray now, make that decision. Father, we thank you for the text. We thank you for the challenge to pray and to pray accordingly. Father, would we ought always to pray and not lose heart? But Father, would we never exalt ourselves or to be self-righteous in prayer? May we never cast others down. Father, may we meet with you in the secret. Father, would you give us what we ask for according to your will? Father, would our approach be different? Would the emphasis of our prayers be different? But Father, through the simplicity of the prayer of the tax collector, would we grow in our prayer life? Just in simplicity, would we meet with you? And Father, I pray that you'd bless those now that are praying to you. Father, would you meet with us in secret? Father, we ask your blessing on our time before us. Would everything we do and say bring glory to your Son, Jesus? We ask this in his name. Amen.